by this side of the grave in eternity one more time. It's so good to look out over the audience to see the number we have present. We'd like to have more, but we're thankful those who have come our way. And hope and pray you'll get your Bible and pencil and paper and study along with us carefully as we cross-examine everything we can from the Bible and learn as much as we possibly can while we can. Because soon we no longer can. We're all going to be leaving this life or leaving this world. The Lord's going to come, whichever be the case. And appreciate Brother Junior and the panoramic prayer that he had tonight covered just about everything we need to hear and know and understand. Appreciate all of our brethren who pray and do a good job, and those who lead the song service. I don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody that helps out and going out visiting other folks. We tried to visit as much as we could this week too, and enjoyed our visits and been out to eat with certain people too, and we enjoyed that too. And appreciate all your hospitality and kindness. Making me feel welcome while I'm here. Of course, I've been here many, many years. Last year, I didn't get to come. That would have been 26 consecutive years, and this would have been 27, but we didn't get to meet the last year. But we look forward to all each year to come here and to work with you and to all work together to win the lost at any cost, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? We can get people to come and obey the gospel, and those of us that are members of the church that need to come back and recommit and rededicate our lives, we need to do so. We do not hesitate. You know, we don't need to resent thinking that somebody might say, well, what have they done now? You know, because all of us, like Brother Junior said, makes mistakes and falters and fails. And the more we confess our faults, the stronger we're going to be. Confess your faults one to another and pray one another to be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse 16. Tonight, we're studying a subject entitled The Parable of the Ten Virgins. The Parable of the Ten Virgins. Before that, James 4 and 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time or a little while and then vanisheth away. Life is like a vapor. We're just here and all of a sudden we disappear. The body goes back to dust from which it came, and the spirit returns back to God who gave it. In the study of the parable of the ten virgins, it shows us clearly and distinctly to be live pure lives. That's what it's talking about, living a pure life, a godly life, a holy life. In Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, I want you to turn and read along with me as we read that, and then come back and we'll try to dissect several things out of these passages to make it clear to understand as we go along, defining words and bringing in other scriptures that might make it simpler for us to understand. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, which means truly, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The first thing I want to do is to define what a parable is. It's a throw beside, it's a comparison, it is a literal illustration teaching a deeper depth down underneath. And so let's look at it from that perspective. He's using literal illustration to teach us a deep, deep spiritual lesson. the 10 virgins. What is a virgin? It symbolizes purity. Purity of the flesh and purity of the spirit when we look at it from both angles. A virgin is something that is original. It really needs no introduction, does it? It really needs no explanation. It's just purity complete. And so we recognize that if a man had a boundary of virgin timber, we know what that means. It's never been cut over. It's never been touched. That's what it means, the real thing. It's the virgin timber. And it's the virgin individual, if they live that kind of godly, holy life upon this earth, keep themselves pure. It can be used in a physical sense and a spiritual sense in service to God Almighty. And so these 10 virgins all had one thing in common. They all had exactly the same bearing of what they were going to be and everything of that nature. They all started out on the same ground, so to speak. They were all virgins, every single one of them. And that's a marvelous thing. One can say, well, that one had advantage over the other. No. The parable of the 10 virgins. Purity, holiness, godliness. The whole chapter is an answer to the question asked by the apostles in Matthew 24:3 about the end of the world. In Matthew 24:3, the Bible has this to say. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall all these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Here in Matthew 24, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He talks about the phrase, the end of the world. Every time the end of the world is mentioned in the Bible, it does not necessarily mean the end of the literal world. In this case, it means the end of the Jewish age and economy. And then later, as the chapter goes on, it talks about the second coming of Christ and so forth. But in AD 70, Titus, the governor, wiped out Jerusalem. It was destroyed. And Josephus, a historian that wrote from a context of just like a reporter today, was not a Christian as far as we know. He said it looked like a plowed field when they got done with Jerusalem, wiped out Jerusalem. In the 23rd chapter, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I gather you under my wings as an old hen get her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. And behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That means empty, unusable, just about wiped out. Several years ago, my mother wanted me to go to her grandfather's house where they used to live several years ago, and the house was just falling down, you know, and vines growing up the sides, and the varmints living on the inside of the old house, and we got some sprouts. And she said, I could hear the voices echoing as we played games outside as I think about going back into my childhood days. And as we looked and seen that old house, it broke her heart to see that old house just falling in and just falling down. And that's what he's talking about. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, Jerusalem. You have disobeyed me. You have stood against me. You have not followed me. You have not obeyed me. You have not served me. I've done so much for you, but you have not yielded your will to my will. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You're without hope. You're without peace. You're without happiness. You've made tragic mistakes by disobeying my word and my will. So the 10 virgins all started out equally on the same ground, same footing, had the same opportunities as they went to meet the bridegroom, of course, which is describing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he says then, it is used in the present tense, Matthew 24:34. A symbol of purity, both physically and spiritually, emphasized the virgin, and the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, they were all virgins and pure and holy and godly. And that's what it's talking about. That's the kind of the life that we ought to be living as well, each and every day serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. But a difference was quickly shown in them. Wise and foolish are total opposites. The difference was immediately shown in them, wise and foolish, total opposites. In the parable, the bridegroom represents Christ. The feast represents the reward which he has prepared for the faithful, the wise, and the wise. He prepared for the faithful and the wise. They prepared to meet the Lord. Those who did not were the foolish individuals. Compare Matthew 7:21. I don't want to say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Luke 6:46. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So it's talking about living a holy, godly, wonderful life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, totally committed and dedicated in his service. So 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And so what they did or didn't do tells the rest of the story all through what we're going to talk about tonight. Wise or foolish? We might stop and ask ourselves, am I wise or am I foolish in the Lord's work? Am I doing the Lord's work? Am I doing the things he requires of me to do? Or am I just halfway doing what he wants me to do? That's the attitude and frame of mind some people have. But we need to have the attitude that we're going to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And then, the foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. Now, what good is a lamp with no oil? So they took no oil with them. But of course, the wise, they took oil in their lamp, and they went and got extra oil, a surplus, so they wouldn't run out on the way. Then they decided how much oil it was going to take to make the journey. And so the wise ones made plans and preparations. That's what we are to do, being wise as God's children. We are to make plans in advance to the very best of our ability. And so as we continue to study the subject, we'll see that neglect is a terrible thing to do. The sin of neglect is an awful thing for me, an awful thing for you. But there's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the sin of neglect. While many follow the instructions of God, many follow the sins of neglect. And so as they moved on their way, and they didn't take enough oil in their lamp, took oil in their lamp, but didn't take an extra supply, then when the time came, they weren't prepared to meet the bridegroom. They were unprepared. But those who did take oil in their lamps and extra oil along to put in the lamps, they were ready to meet the Lord, ready to meet the bridegroom. The Jewish lamp was a shallow vessel filled with oil. The wick floated on the top, and the foolish took no extra oil with them. But of course the fluid burned up real rapidly, and they had to keep adding more oil all the time. And of course they didn't have enough to add the oil to take them the rest of the way on the journey. And so the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Psalm 119, verses 104, 105, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, at every false way, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that others may see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And while the bridegroom tarried, in verse 5, the thought here is, the bridegroom will come at an unexpected time, and some in the early church expected the Lord to come as soon as he was, and it was a false expectation. Of course, he didn't come. And so people get to thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. I don't have to hurry up and do anything about this. I'll take my time. I've got plenty of time. But don't ever get the idea we've got plenty of time. We think wrongly when we have that type of attitude. And we say often it's your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your altitude. And so they had the wrong attitude. They weren't thinking that like they should be thinking. But those who were wise were making plans to be ready no matter what the situation that took place. They would be ready to meet the bridegroom. And so then at midnight there was a cry. At midnight. Now what are most of us doing at midnight? Sleeping away. Many of us snoring away. And the most unexpected time probably for him to come for us would be at dead midnight. But just think about it. We don't know. At such an hour, the Bible says that we think not, the Son of Man cometh. So when the cry came, they all slumbered and slept, and when at midnight, when that unexpected moment came, they all rose and trimmed their lamps, you know. They all rose and trimmed their lamps, and they got ready to meet the bridegroom. But the others, of course, were running out of oil all the time. And then the moment came at an unexpected time. Give us of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. Now think of that. Our lamp, verse 8. Our lamps have gone out. Now, a lamp, in order to go out, it's first got to be lit, right? To be burning before it could ever go out. And they were once lighted for them, but hearts once illuminated, and weariness takes place, and weakness takes place. By faith, we may come back and bring them back about the right thing and the right attitude and frame of mind, but they didn't have time to do all this. They run out, and they had to go back and buy more, but would they get back in time? That was the thing that we recognize here. They waited too late, and sometimes we wait too late, too, in life. And we may leave this life and leave this world before we have time to get back to the Lord. And so we need to be busy doing the things we need to do. And we may become cold and indifferent and be excluded from heaven. And through procrastination or putting off till tomorrow what we ought to be doing today, and carelessness, and procrastination, of course, is just waiting and putting off till some other time and just keep putting it off. Procrastination Club one time set a meeting to meet at 7 o'clock sharp, and they canceled it at 6:59. Sometimes we do the same thing in life. We cancel doing what's right, and we continue to go on doing what is wrong. So that's, we need to really be ready doing the things we need to do each and every day and stay on top of things before we run out of the ability and the strength and the courage to do the things that we need to do. The grace supplied to one soul cannot be transferred to another. We must have individual responsibility. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. It was now too late. And though their intentions was good, no doubt, each should obey the gospel at the first opportunity, because one may come to the Lord in that, have a great opportunity in the 11th hour if they yield to God with a total ability and desire of heart to come to Him. So as long as there's life, there's hope. And as long as we can yield our will to God's will, we can become a child of God, and we can serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. If we've gone away from the Lord, we can come back and rededicate and recommit our life. But if we cross the deadline, we cannot do that. So we want to make sure that we don't cross that deadline, you see. But now is the time, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. And that's a marvelous thing just to think about, having this opportunity today to serve God in sincerity and truth before it's eternally and everlastingly too late. And so, after came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They came looking and begging for mercy when it was time for judgment. But the door of mercy was closed forever. And John 12:48, of course, is going to be open when we all judge in the last day, as well as these, the power of the 10 virgins points. He rejected me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We never know when that last day is going to be and be brought about, and so we have to make our peace with God while we have the time and while we have the opportunity, because it's running out more and more every day. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Lord is coming. Is a secret known only to God. Deuteronomy 29:29, secret thing belong to the Lord our God. And so that's a secret thing that God did not reveal to us. That's none of our business. We just have to get our lives ready each and every day that we possibly can, so that we can understand that we can be ready to meet the Lord. Romans 11:33, I want us to read what the Bible says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I think that his ways are past finding out. Now, we know that and we understand that. And we know that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. And Hebrews 12:29, we know that God is a consuming fire. And so we need to be wise servants. We need to keep oil in our lamps, and we need to keep them burning bright. And as they rose and trimmed their lamps, you trim the wick in a lamp, and it makes it burn clearer and won't burn up the side and destroy your glow. And so that's what they needed to do, is keep everything looking clean and neat, and their lives clean and neat, and doing only the things that please God Almighty. So the parable of the 10 virgins is a great lesson to each and every one of us. And so that's what we're going to study tonight. I'm going to close out the lesson because I'm not thinking straight. I apologize, but I just can't do any different. So I'm going to give the invitation. Anyone wants to obey the gospel? The plan, of course, is simple: to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, to believe it, John 8:24, to repent of every sin, Luke 13:3. And to make that sweet confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be buried in the Lord's baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, for remission of sins. Be added to the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or read about in the Bible. And go on your way rejoicing, and continue to be faithful unto death, or till the Lord comes. And so that's the best news we can talk about under the conditions that I'm in right now. I don't know what's happening to me. I can't really tell you. I don't know. I do apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. But at the same time, I can't do any better. And I hope and pray that I can come back tomorrow night and be more prepared and be feeling a lot better and doing better to deliver the final lesson for this week, for this week's series of gospel meetings. So if you're subject in any way tonight, need to come back and rededicate your life, do it while you have the time, while you have the opportunity. Once you go.